Hey guys, welcome back to Unveiled, the wedding podcast that pulls back the curtain to give you everything you need to know about planning your big day. Today we're talking about run sheets, content creators, and 35mm film, because let's be real, these three things can make or break your wedding day. I'm Eddie from Ripper Weddings, and I'm here with my co-host Lucy from Lucy Blake Photography. Let's dive in. Welcome back.
Hello.
How are we going?
Good. I almost fell over today when you said that our last episode was in May. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Been a bit going on.
Yeah, what has been going on?
Lots, weddings, babies.
Yeah, we had the baby. Got two now.
Yeah.
God, life just got way more hectic, didn't it?
Why don't you have time for a podcast?
6 months. I think we were hopeful, but... Yeah. Anyway, we're here now, 2025. I feel like we've probably got more advice to give now more than ever.
Yeah.
So how are we approaching this first episode, Ed? We kind of
spoke about... You're kidding me, are you?
It's like, that's your job. No. We thought today would be a good opportunity to just say hi, we're back, but also just gear you guys up with a few sort of questions that we're both finding we're being asked by majority of our couples, whether it be when we're having meetings, before they book, like yada yada. So we just thought it would gear you guys up for like the sort of planning journey that you have ahead. And we have touched on a few of these things before, but I just thought it might be good to a recap, but also, I just feel like they're questions that we're finding that a lot of people are asking.
Yep.
So.
And there's a bit been happening in their wedding industry, I suppose.
Lots of changes.
So we're just going to touch on a few things that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And a few different.
Yeah.
Observations. Trends, I guess, moving forward.
I hate the word trends.
Yeah. Well, what would you like? What do you like then, darling?
I feel like observations.
Observations.
Yeah. Because trends really pigeonhole people. Yeah. So I just feel like observations from weddings we've seen, and trends don't necessarily stick around.
Yep.
Anyway, you popped up a really good post the other day because run sheet seems to be coming up a fair bit at the moment, whether it's, in that initial sort of conversation in terms of like people asking how much coverage they think is required or it's further down the track when people are actually creating their run sheets or have created a draft and then we're going through it with them.
Yeah, and I think it's causing a bit of confusion for couples because all different vendors, photographers and videographers offer different length coverage all the way from 6 hours to like 12 hours.
So it's someone that's just dipping
their foot in the water for the first time, they just got no idea. So it's a reasonable question. But, yeah, I just thought it'd be good to touch on that today, what we think's best and why.
Yeah. All right. So that's going to be the first thing we sort of talk about, coverage. Let's just explain what we tend to say to our couples.
Yeah.
I think both you and I tend to gravitate towards that whole 8 hours being your coverage sweet spot, I would say.
Yeah. And most of our weddings are happening in daylight savings, so from October through to April, however many months that is. So we've sort of come up with something that we think is just a general guide. Obviously, sunset times shift.
Yeah.
But we think 8 hours, if you're having a ceremony around that sort of 3:30, 4 o'clock mark, then like 8 hours should be perfect.
Yeah. So let's just backtrack a little bit. Another thing with coverage is it isn't fixed. So coverage can kind of start and end when you preference according to your day and what's included and what's important to you guys. And that was another thing I really wanted to touch on, was because I'm finding a lot of my couples personally are not wanting as much coverage at the start of the day, and they're wanting more of it at the back end when it's, you know, the whole wedding party, it's the fun stuff. So that's another thing worth asking, obviously, the people that you take on for the day, what they, you know, tend to do. But Eddie and I both, you know, we're very open to having the coverage kind of start when you feel like you want it to start and end when
it's funny you say that. I just got off a phone call this morning with the bride, and yeah, exactly that. She's like, not really fussed on the getting ready stuff. We've got three young kids. I would love to capture a bit of that. But other than that, like, happy to, you know, get rolling from the ceremony. So everyone's different. Yeah.
I don't think prep is, I personally don't feel prep is that.
Yeah. Personal preference, so, but yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Feel free to move that coverage start time to wherever you want it to be.
Should we break down in 8 hours?
Yep, I think. Go for it.
So if we're having a ceremony, let's say it's a 3:30 ceremony, right? And we're going to do coverage from, say, 1:30 to 9:30. So 1:30, we're assuming that person one and two are getting ready in a similar location. So we can just one photographer or videographer. We're going to start at the boys. We're going to spend half an hour there. We're going to spend maybe 5 or 10 minutes traveling to the next place, and we'll spend up to an hour there potentially. And then we like to get to the ceremony about half an hour before it starts to capture a few of the guests arriving. It's good to shoot the setup at the ceremony before guests dump bags, and it all, you know, we get there once it, when it's looking pretty. And then we just essentially get ready for the ceremony to start. And then after the ceremony, that's, we're getting to 4 o'clock now. All the guests will naturally congratulate the couple. We'll let that happen for 10 minutes. And then that's a good time while everyone's together to round up family and do the family photos. That'll probably take another 10, 15 minutes. So now you're getting to, 4:30-ish?
Mm-hmm.
Around 4:30. And then what Luce and I both like to do, and I'm finding this is like a big movement in the wedding industry, not just us and for couples, is people really want to maximize time with their guests. So then is a really good time for you guys to go and enjoy a cocktail hour, have a few drinks, have some food, speak to your guests, loosen up. And then really before you go into that reception, whether that reception's at sort of 6:30, we only need half an hour with the bridal party, if that, get some nice shots around wherever we're going to go, move into the reception. We're assuming it's daylight saving, so sunset's not going to be till sort of 7:30-ish. So a good idea is to come in, have a first round of speeches, have some food, let the couple eat, and then we take the couple outside for 10 minutes of sunset. And then that should be perfect. Assuming you guys are going to have dinner and be on the dance floor by 9, then that's an ace run sheet.
Yeah.
There's no real need to go any longer.
Yeah.
If there are certain, unless there's some certain circumstances, one being if that ceremony is a lot earlier, we know that church ceremonies happen, you know, typically around 2 o'clock. So there's just longer coverage needed. So instead of starting at, you know, 1:30, starting at 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one. And the other one, it's, you know, unless those formalities are taking a very long time for you to get on your dance floor, like if you're getting on the dance floor after 9 o'clock, and you probably really shouldn't be, because most venues' curfews, as you know, is what, like 10:30, 11. Yeah. So you want to get on the dance floor early, my opinion. Yeah, so they're the only two variables. And I guess if you're having a fancy exit, but, you know, there's sort of less and less of that happening.
Yeah. So there are variables. We are going to do a full episode on run sheets. Did pop something on our story this morning in terms of we're actually opening it up to you guys to send through your run sheets, even if they're a draft. And with the next episode on run sheets, we will go through a few run sheets and sort of dissect them and kind of point out where, you know, you might be able to do this, that, and the other. The other thing, one second, is...
Sorry.
Daylight saving and non-daylight savings.
Yes.
We just wanted to give you guys an example of like a really good key time if you are getting married in Australia during daylight savings and then also not during daylight savings. So for daylight saving time, we said 3:30, 4 o'clock is a really good time to do a ceremony.
Yep.
And then for non-daylight savings, it would be around that 2:30 mark.
Maybe even 2 o'clock, because it's obviously like a lot less light in total in winter. So
yeah,
I think we had ours at around 2, and
we did.
There was getting dark from memory at like 5. So there's not heaps of time before it actually is getting dark. So probably around 2.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't gospel, just like a general guide.
Yeah.
But I was thinking today when Lisa and I were chit-chatting before the episode, is that it's actually a massive bonus for winter, because as I said before, all these venues, the curfews are early, 10:30, 11. But if you're getting married in winter, if you're bringing all that forward and having your ceremony earlier, you're really maximizing the day.
Yeah.
And there's so many other great benefits of getting married in winter. The light's beautiful all day long.
Yeah.
It's obviously a bit chillier. There's less likelihood of rain.
Yeah.
All these things. So that's a whole another episode in itself.
Rain. We have spoken about that. So if you do want to go back, there is an episode on all of that. But we also have an example run sheet. So we will link that to our Facebook group in the show notes, and that is available to anyone who jumps into our Facebook group.
Yeah.
So please join. All right. I feel like, is that sort of everything in terms of coverage, run sheets?
I think so.
Top level?
Yep.
All right. The next thing I really wanted to chat about was, and this is a bit of a point of contention, but also it is the way that weddings are going, and this is now considered a very, very prominent role in weddings, and it's the content creators.
Mm.
So I've actually had a few couples now ask me, should we spend the money on a videographer or do we get a content creator? It's literally like one or the other. A lot of couples are kind of going, I'll either do this or I'll do this.
Yeah, well, it's another vendor now, isn't it? Like another expense.
Yes, and it is another expense. And you and I both know weddings are very expensive.
Mm.
So, look, the way that I've broken it down, because I've worked with some really, really great content creators, all of them kind of offer different things. Mm. But also, I think there is such a massive place for videographers. Like, yeah. Well, and it's often very, very overlooked, and
I guess it's miscommunicated. Like, I feel like some couples are just not understanding
exactly. So this is where I feel like we can really help, because I don't believe it should be, should we get a content creator or should we get a videographer? Mm. A videographer is someone who is very, very equipped with the industry. They know wedding days backwards, inside out, you know, all of the things, as well as a photographer does. They are across audio, they are across visuals, they are a creative, all of those things. And like, I think the biggest thing is they know how wedding days work. And what you get is a very, very premium product. You get premium audio, you get your speeches, you get your ceremony, you get your, I'm sort of speaking on your behalf, Ed, you're a videographer, but what else do you get?
Yeah, like, you get, what get like the main highlight reel that you share with your family and friends.
Yeah, you're also including a social component in your packages.
Like social media cuts and that sort of thing. But I think the main difference is the deliverables, like what's delivered on the day. Mm. So whether they're like equipped an experience of being around a wedding or not, which, you know, I'm sure they are, it's more what's delivered on the day.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, after the day.
Yeah.
So with a content creator, it's obviously the quick turnarounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly shot on an iPhone.
It is.
It's all shot on an iPhone. So it's super raw. It's like literally what's on your iPhone.
It's your behind the scenes.
Yeah. And they'll probably stitch together a reel.
Yeah. I think they deliver like a few reels. Some do photos, which I feel like kind of also needs to be addressed as well, but that's more for, I think, from an industry perspective. And then there's also this insertion of like Super 8 cameras coming in, handycams, film cameras, that kind of thing. But the crux of a content creator is the iPhone content.
Yeah.
So what I think most content creators will deliver is exactly what you said. It's like they'll just shoot a whole lot of behind the scenes on the day, and they're essentially like a guest who is doing all the behind the scenes content, but they're not a guest.
Yep.
They're hired on the day.
Yeah, and they'll also dump all the raw like individual clips onto like a Dropbox or a Google Drive or something from the chats that we've had with them. Yeah.
So crux of it is, your deliverables won't be anything alike.
Nothing.
If you were to get a content creator. So I guess for each individual couple, you kind of just need to take that info and weigh it up. The audio, I think, is a big one.
Yeah.
Content creators won't be hooking you up with a mic for your ceremony speeches, your speeches. All of those really valuable moments.
Yeah, videographers are a lot more storytelling.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know, a series of clips.
And we're not diminishing content creators because, worked with some really beautiful content creators and I understand the role. Like it's something that I really do understand. It kind of also takes the pressure off guests having to, you know, get their iPhones out, which I really like, because that's kind of leaning into that whole unplugged ceremony and getting people to be really present on the day. And so all of that I really love, but I just kind of wanted to flag that I don't feel like it should be replacing a videographer full stop.
Yeah, I guess the purpose of this is just to be transparent with the difference between, because exactly. We're getting questions like,
yes.
Oh, aren't they kind of the same?
And yeah, it's like, should I get this or should I get that? Yeah, cool. Next one is photos before or after the ceremony.
Oh, yes.
So I feel like, look, and this is stemming from something that we always really encourage of couples actually being present and a part of their wedding day, you know, not being taken away from photos and videos left, right and center. You are there to be with your guests and that is the primary, you know, that you're at your wedding day. So I guess this whole thinking of like doing your photos prior to the ceremony, that's where this is sort of coming from, because people want to maximize their time at their canapé hour and with their guests. So I might let you take the lead on this one.
Well, I mean, putting the photographer hat on, creative hat.
Yep.
We want to be taking photos later in the evening.
Why is that?
For the light.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's night and day of like what your photos are going to look like.
Very different.
From the middle of the day to late afternoon, like beautiful light.
Unless you've got an overcast day.
Yeah.
That's the only time, but you can't preempt that.
And venue pending. But also, you know, I just find that, and you might be the same, that couples just naturally relax after a ceremony.
Mm.
There's so much anticipation
before a ceremony. Yes, that is such a good point.
Really, it's a lot more difficult to get natural moments out of someone when all they're thinking about is getting down the aisle.
Yeah.
But on the, like, flip the coin, the pros for the, you know, having photos beforehand is obviously you can maximize your time at the canapé hour. But like we were speaking about earlier in the episode, gone are the days you need to go away for an hour, 2 hour with your photographer. You know, you can smash it out so quickly, 20 minutes if you want.
Yep.
You know, these cameras are amazing now. You can get thousands of good shots in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And then also if you're coupling that with, you know, breaking it off into two portions and just doing your sunset session later during dinner, you're literally not missing anything. So there's that. So yeah, we heard a few things recently, didn't we? Like everyone's like, have your photos before the ceremony, and Lisa and I crying going, No.
I think every photographer would have been going, No.
And look, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, like, you can do it. And look, first look also falls under that as well. But that actually can be a lot more doable than, say, doing like your full bridal party photos.
Yeah. And there are variables. Like I've got one coming up and they literally have to do this photos beforehand. They've got
young. It's going to be dark.
They've got young family. Ceremony's really late, like 5:30.
Yep.
You know, and then you're pressing like 5:30. Once that's wrapped, at 6, and then it's like, you know, we're losing light quickly.
Is, gone.
So there's different things that swing that, but for the most part, if you can, slot them in later.
After.
Yep.
Yep. Perfect. And finally, I wanted to just chat through adding film photography to your photo package.
Yeah.
So
this is your wheelhouse. Someone said to me yesterday on a wedding, pretty sure Lucy started taking film photos and then all of a sudden it's a trend. And I was like,
I wouldn't go as far as
saying that, but I think there's a bit of truth in that.
Do you not remember
when
I first started?
Yeah.
It was all I wanted to shoot weddings on.
Yeah.
So, and I know, so the person that's going to be laughing at that comment is probably Alex Marks, because he is, you know, one of the photographers that has been around for a million years. I mean that in the nicest possible way, Al. But I know that he's shot a lot of film, a lot of weddings on film. But yes, it's really risen in sort of the last couple of years, I would say.
It's like a staple thing now. A lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because when people talk about trends versus trends that disappear, I don't think film's going anywhere, which I love because, yes, going back to what you just said before, the first wedding I ever shot on behalf of my very own business was on film. Mm. You know, like I did it on digital as well.
Was it going
to
be?
But I shot primarily on film, and that was something I wanted to bring into this industry because I love that look of that real nostalgic look. I think there's something so beautiful about it, and it is booming now. Like it's, I feel like you almost scroll the feed, and if like you more often than not seeing more film than you are digital.
But I think there's also confusion around film because people are asking, can we get? Like, what's 35mm film? Can we get it? I'm just like, probably don't get it.
Well, you say, Eddie, yes.
I'm like, we should probably understand what it is first. Yeah, so, like, it definitely creates a certain look, like nostalgia.
Yeah.
Super nice. Yeah. But it's not for everyone. So
no, it's not for everyone. Yeah, and look, like, I think this is – but this is why I wanted to talk about it because – that you have couples that are sort of saying, should we be getting it, but don't really know any different. Mm. So if it's not something that you gravitate towards, then no.
Yeah.
But I don't think you'll regret it.
Nah, I've seen a lot of your galleries and the contrast of having film shots in there and as well as your digital, like it definitely brings a different feel. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And another thing that I love about the film shot is that it just feels so untouched, like it's just something that happened right there and then, and it just takes you back to, you know, even when our parents were getting married, you know, all of their weddings were shot on film and medium format.
I wonder what the medium's going to be in like 40 years when we're old, and then everyone's going to be like, let's get it all shot on like a mirrorless camera. While they're shooting on whatever they are in those, and you know, that generation.
In the future.
So,
So, they were just a few things that I feel like we're getting a lot of questions around at the moment. I'm sure there's going to be many, many more as the season progresses. How many weddings are you shooting this year, Eddie?
A lot, yeah.
How many, do you know?
Not off the top of my head, but yeah, no, it's been...
Wedding season is in full
swing. It's been in full flight, but it's worth touching on to close out the episode that there was, I think it's just gone back to where it was prior to COVID. I feel like there was a huge boom post-COVID, everyone trying to get in all their weddings.
Yeah.
And then I kind of feel like it's, you know, although we're still, you know, the calendar's full and we're shooting lots of weddings, it doesn't seem like it's as hectic as what it was a couple of years ago. What do you think?
I just think people are, I mean, the wedding landscape just looks so different now. I feel like people are really being conservative as to where they put their money.
Yeah.
They're kind of sitting in that engagement bubble, which I think is really nice because I feel like there was a bit of a time there where people would get engaged and it was, you're just so quick to get married. And it's like, slow down, enjoy the engagement bubble, because once that's over, you're married and life is great. But yeah, no, I do know what you mean. There was a real sort of almost like a bit of a panic craziness, and it really feels like it's starting to level out again. But we are super excited to be back.
No promises, Lucy, don't promise anything.
I wasn't going to, Eddie. I was just gonna say we're very excited to be back. Thank you all for being so supportive even throughout that sort of quiet time for us. I really had to, I feel, listen to my mother energy and lean into just being a mum to two babies.
Yeah. And the best thing about this podcast is none of the content dates.
No,
so you can literally go back to episode one.
Yeah.
And listen
again.
And I actually, it's nice. I've been chatting with a few brides, upcoming brides, and they're like, oh, I've been listening to your podcast. And it was, you know, you were talking about so and so. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool that, you know, it's still relevant.
Yeah. We hope so. I hope that we're not aging.
We're definitely aging.
We're aging, but, you know.
All right.
Anyway, on that, good chat, and we look forward to being back in your ears.
Soon.
Soon?
Yeah.
To be seen.
All right.
Bye.
Ciao.